Church, if you will, you can go and open your Bibles to John chapter 12. That's where we will be primarily this morning. If you've been here the last couple of weeks, you know we've been in a series called Worthy, and we've been singing, and we will sing it again, this song at the end, Is He Worthy? And you should say, if you've been here, He is. There we go. Yeah, somebody's awake. He is. He is worthy. It's this word that's been resonating in my head and in my heart. The one enduring motive to the Christian life is the fact that God is worthy. That doesn't change. Your circumstances can change. Your relationships can change. Your job situation can change. Your bank account can change. Amen? Yeah. The price at the gas pump can change. But one thing remains the same, and the fact that God is worthy. That's the only enduring motive to pray. That's the only enduring motive to serve Him, to worship Him, to live for Him. Why is it important? Because what we find worthy is what we assign worth. It's what we love. The first and greatest commandment is that we love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our strength, and with all our mind. Literally all that we are. All that we are. And Jesus told us that where our treasure is, that which we find most worthy, is where our hearts will be also. And that needs to be with Jesus. The Bible makes that very clear. Jesus is the center of the Bible. Every story points to Him. Every story is about Him. He is our victory. He is our substitute. He is everything. We exist. Our whole purpose is to know Jesus and make... Man, everybody's sleeping. Our whole purpose is to know Jesus and make... That's it. It's all about Jesus. Right? It's all about Jesus. This sermon I've actually titled, At the Feet of Jesus. At the Feet of Jesus. I'll tell you why after we read this passage. Before we do, I want to pause for us adults and for you kids. If you have your Bibles, I hope some of you kids have your Bibles too. You can look at your parents. This Bible, it's not like any other book. Right? It's not like any other cool story that you're... I have a lot of great stories that I've read, that I've been excited to read, and I've enjoyed. Movies that I've watched that I'm like, this was great. But this book, this story, is far better. It is living. It is active. It pierces hearts. It changes lives, transforms us, renews us, shares the good news with us. This word endures. It is eternal. The flowers and the grass that have come up, praise God, will once again fade and wither. But this word will endure forever. I want us to feel the power of God's Word when we read it. So again, John chapter 12, we're going to read verses 1 through 8. The story of Mary anointing Jesus in a town called Bethany. Verse 1 says, 6 days before the Passover, Jesus therefore came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, whom Jesus has raised from the dead. So they gave a dinner for him there. Martha served, and Lazarus was one of those reclining with him at the table. Mary, therefore, took a pound of expensive ointment made from pure nard and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But Judas Iscariot, one of the disciples, he who was about to betray him, said, "Why was the ointment not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor?" He said this not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief, and having charge of the money bag, he used to help himself to what was put into it. Jesus said, "Leave her alone, so that she may keep it for the day of my burial. For the poor you will always have with you, but you do not always have me." Let us pray, church. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Again, it is living and active and powerful and transforms us, renews us. It works in us, Lord. And I ask that your Holy Spirit right now would work along with your word to do a work in us this morning, Lord. To do a work in all of us, including these kids. Thank you for them being in the service. Just transform us with the power of your word right now, Lord. I pray in your name. Amen. So this story, if you were here, we've been following these sisters, Mary and Martha. And just how Martha's always serving, as she is in this story as well, always taking action, always serving, and Mary is always sitting. She just always sits. But she sits in a particular place. She tends to be seated at the feet of Jesus every time Jesus is around. There are three clear scenarios where Mary and Martha are actually named. And each time Mary, Martha's sister, is named, she is at the feet of Jesus. All right, so if you go back, you don't have to turn there. I'm just going to read it real quick to Luke chapter 10. In verse 39, Mary was there, right? And here's what it says. And she had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. If you were here last week, you saw that Lazarus got raised from the dead. Jesus proclaimed that he is the resurrection and the life. Mary went up to Jesus before the miracle. And what'd she do? John chapter 11, verse 32. Now when Mary came to where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet, saying to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. And then this week again, Mary is listed in chapter 12, verse 3, which we just read. Mary therefore took a pound of expensive ointment made from pure nard, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. Like the three times that she is mentioned in Scripture, she is literally at the feet of Jesus. Every time. Humbling herself, worshiping her Savior. And I just want to point this out because it's pretty important. How about the disciples? The disciples, multiple times in the Gospels, are having this conversation with Jesus, and they come around Jesus, and they're like, hey, Jesus, which one of us is the greatest? Which one of us is the greatest? Can you clarify that? We need to determine this here. We were having a discussion about it. And, of course, each time he rebukes them, Jesus is the one in the next chapter, John chapter 13, that actually bows down and washes the disciples' feet. And what you'll find is even in Luke's gospel, at that supper, when he announces that one of them is going to betray him, they start to have this discussion again in Luke chapter 22 about which one of them is the greatest. Like, are you kidding me? Mary had it all over them. They didn't get it. And John makes that abundantly clear. You see that as you read through John. Even this is, again, Palm Sunday. Here it is. It happens in chapter 12. They're calling, Hosanna, here you are, King of Israel, lead us. And what happens? Jesus says, the Son of Man is going to be lifted up. The Son of Man is going to be lifted up. And they're like, wait a minute, what do you mean? Who's the Son of Man, for one? And what do you mean you're going to die? You're supposed to be our king. And they're, Jesus actually walks away from them. You see this in chapter 12, verse 36. He departs from them and he's like, they don't believe in me. They don't know who I am. Even John himself, John and Peter, if you remember this story, the day of the resurrection, they run to the tomb. Right? John gets there first because he's faster than Peter. They get there, they look in, they see, they observe, and John admits two men that were walking with Jesus day and night, that saw miracle after miracle, that heard more of Jesus' teachings, they admit like they didn't understand until that moment that Jesus must be raised from the dead. They didn't get it. They didn't get it. Mary got something. And for that reason, this account, Matthew's account, Matthew's gospel and Mark's gospel says that this story, when the gospel is told, will be recounted, will be announced every time the gospel is told. And there's a story of this lady anointing the feet of Jesus in all four gospels. It's there. It's so significant. She got it. This bottle of ointment. We're going to talk about that. So, this is bigger than that bottle would have been, but I know some of you are old and you wouldn't be able to see a small bottle, so we'll use this jar, okay? I'm not pointing out anybody, okay? But what happened here? So, Jesus raises Lazarus from the dead. Remember it? Lazarus, come out. This ignites the Pharisees and the religious leaders. That's the event that says we're going to have to get rid of this guy. He's taking too much power, too much influence. They're even going to talk about killing Lazarus here a little later in this chapter. Like, we got to stop this movement. We're losing power. We're going to lose our authority. We got to get rid of him. They're planning that. Jesus and the disciples leave Bethany, which is, again, only 2 miles from Jerusalem, the hub of where everybody wants to crucify him. They come back for this dinner. Jesus knows this is it. This is it. This is the week that he will be betrayed. This is the week that he will be mocked and ridiculed and crucified and buried and, praise God, resurrected. Okay, this is the week. This is the moment. They're back at Bethany. I think Mary understood something about this that the disciples didn't. I think she understood more than those around her that this was the week that Jesus would die. She does something very, very extravagant that blows everybody's mind. And we kind of miss that when we read this story because we don't really understand. We read that there's a bottle, and it says a pound. It's actually a Roman pound, which is about 11 and a half ounces. So we read there's a bottle of perfume that's 11 and a half ounces that everybody's having a big deal about. And apparently it's filled with this thing called nard. And I don't know what nard is, but I don't want any. Like, we don't know. We're like, what is that? Well, it's still a very expensive ointment. It's still used today. It's still aromatherapy. It's still used for psychotic wellness. It's still used for just massages, anything that you can think of. It's still very expensive, not nearly as expensive as it used to be. And we're going to explain that. So what is this nard, or sometimes it's called spikenard? Okay. This ointment came from the Himalayan mountains. You got to understand, they're not in the Himalayan mountains. They're in near Jerusalem in Israel. These plants where they got the ointment from came from the Himalaya mountains, mainly in India. Now, here's the thing with these plants as well. These plants grew at elevations of 10,000 to 16,000 feet in the air. And still do. That's where they naturally grow. 10,000 to 16,000 feet, usually on steep cliffs. So they had to pull these plants, and the ointment actually came out of the roots and the vines that come from the roots, the spike, that's why I call it spikenard. Okay. So they actually had to dry out these plants that took 2 to 5 years to grow, and then they had to extract the ointment from them. And then they had to get it to the Middle East. And this was highly valuable, highly sought after. So how many, this is what blew my mind. How many plants did it take to create about 11 and a half ounces, 12 ounces of ointment? How many do you think? 100? 275. I like that precision. 100. 100. Okay. It took 60 to 100,000. 60,000 to 100,000 plants that you would have to pick to produce this much oil. I want you to realize that just like poo, blew my mind. And I'm like, okay, now I see how much labor went in to these people climbing the mountains in the cold, pulling out these plants, bringing them down, waiting, drying them out, extracting, getting this oil, carrying it all the way to the middle. Yes, of course, it was very, very expensive. This was extravagant. This would have likely been her life savings, everything that she, most valuable thing that she would have had. This would have been it. She likely was not married, or her husband would have likely been mentioned in one of these stories. It could have been that she was never married. She got it by doing sinful things. It could have been that it was a husband that you passed away, and this was really her rest of her life savings that she had to use. I don't know exactly what it was, but this was expensive ointment that she had in a jar. Again, a little smaller than this, but in a jar that was sealed up, that kept this ointment pure, that she could have made and mixed with other things to make other fragrances and sell. Very highly sought after. She sees Jesus, and what does she do? Mark's gospel account will actually say she breaks the end of it. She doesn't uncork it. She's like, I'm all in. Here's everything. I do not intend to use a little bit. I intend to use it all, and I'm gonna dump it all out on Jesus. From the different gospel accounts, she anoints his head and then she pours it on his feet, possibly even crying on his feet and wiping it off with her hair. And everybody there is like, what? Why would you do that? I mean, this is like you have a brand new car, or the value of that, and you, like, this is a year's or more salary. Because you get this, in this story it'll say Judas says this. So Judas says, why would you do that? That's like 300 denarii. And here's the thing, one day's wages was one denarius. So you put that together and that's like 300 working days. So that's at least a year's salary, if not more, that you're putting there and you're saying, I'm just going to give this away. How much is that? See, we lose this. We say there's this jar that's really sweet, that's a kind thing. No, this is a lot of money, guys. This was a big deal, and it was a shock to everyone around. So, I wanted you to kind of grasp just how much money that was. So, here's $100, $100 bills. How much money is that? No, $100, $100 bills. Nope. Yeah, there we go, $10,000. $10,000. But it was worth more than that, wasn't it? Like in today's dollars, most people would say it would be worth about $50,000. $50,000. When they saw her break that, they didn't see a bottle of perfume like we saw a bottle of perfume. They saw $50,000 just being poured out on Jesus and wasted. And it wasn't just Judas. Mark says some of the disciples were like, what? Mark's gospel even says the disciples scolded her. Like, she breaks that and starts pouring it out, and they're like, Mary, what are you doing? Are you nuts? You're crazy. Yeah, like that. They were like, what are you doing? That's incredible. All right. I need the kids to come up. All you kids that are 10 and under, okay? 11, 12, whatever. Just come up. I just don't want you to, like, any over 20, stay seated, okay? Ron, stay seated. Stay seated. All right, sit down up here somewhere. You can sit down up here. No, over here, over here. Sit somewhere. All right, I need a volunteer that's this tall. No, you're too short, sorry. You're too tall. Come on, who's this tall? Come here, come here. No. Oh, it's perfect. All right, thank you. I don't know. There's no real reason. Tell everybody your name. Oh, you got to tell everybody, not me. I know who you are. Allison. I've already embarrassed her big time at another event when it was her birthday. Today's not her birthday. Don't embarrass her anymore. But thank you for standing up. I appreciate it. So, how many $100 bills have you all seen? A lot of them? Zero? There we go. So what happens when a $100 bill gets wet? Yeah. So we'll see this. Will you grab that for me? What? Grab that for me. What'd you just do to my $100 bill? Someone else help me here. Who can save a $100 bill for me? Come on, you try. Come on, save it for me. Save it. Oh! What is that? Put that back in. See? Oh, no! What's that wrong there? What? How does it make you feel seeing $100 bills just like disappear in the water? Yeah, oh. All right, each of you can have one and try it, okay? If your hand's wet, it'll probably be falling apart before. It is fake.
I'm keeping it.
I'll give you one to keep, but not these, okay? Because these, if you sneeze on it and stuff, it'll like just disintegrate. But you can put them in the water. What?
It's not real.
What? What do you mean it's not real? It is, I know. Give me some money. Yeah, I didn't bring real money here, guys, just so you know that as well. I'll give you one of these. Yeah. On the back it says in proof we trust for motion pictures only. Okay. You can have this one and play with it. Don't try to spend it. It's federal crime. If you do and you ask where they got it, say Methodist Church. No, I'm just kidding. That was a bad joke. I'm sorry. I don't really mean that. Don't put it in the offering plate. Nope. You have one of these, though. He wants a fake, realist looking $100. It's fake. No. Yeah, you go. I don't care. Man, y'all didn't know this. Yeah. You want one? No? You can take one for her. Here. Thanks for running slides. Yeah, don't put that one in. You'll just get it wet. But it won't disintegrate like that. What? Yeah, no. Here. You can have that wet one. All right. What? Probably. Don't go to the dollar store, though. It's good. Yes. Yeah. Improv. We trust. Yeah. That's what I said. They're clearly fake. Yeah. Please make sure that you don't try to use them. But I do. I wanted you all, and even you kids, I want you to see, like, this was a big deal. All right. This was a really big deal. When Mary did this, that's why they were almost indignant with her. Like, what are you doing, Mary? Like, do you realize that much money? It's like a life-changing amount of money just to have in your hand. And one like that, like, it would change most of our situations. If you just have $50,000 in your hand, and it's like that would make things a lot easier, at least, right? that's a lot. And she just pours it out, and it's like, well, okay, we're Christians, right? So we're gonna say, well, we can help the poor with it, right? You're at least gonna say something like that. We could do something good with it. But that's not all of it, guys. I want you to understand this: the shock of this situation. You have to understand that culture too. There's some men reclining around the table, and Mary just steps out of place. It's like, what are you doing, Mary? What are you doing? You're not supposed to do that. She touches a man that's not her husband, not allowed in that culture at all. She undoes her hair in that culture, not allowed at all. So here she is at a table that she's not really invited to, that they're like, you don't have a place at, which possibly if the accountant Luke is referring to the same lady, that's what they're actually accusing her of. Like, you don't have a place here. You put your hair down. You're wiping your hair. Like, this is just totally inappropriate, Mary. And then you just waste all this money. And the disciples are like, you can't do this. This is dumb. So they're just laying into her and laying into her. And Jesus says, wait, everybody just shut it. Shut it. What Mary has done is a beautiful thing. That's what Matthew and Mark's gospel, what Mary has done is a beautiful thing. She gets it. She knows who Jesus is. He's not just a man. Right? He's life itself. He is the resurrection himself. He can't just only feed bread to people to fill their stomachs. He's the bread of life that can feed their souls and renew their souls that they have eternal life and may never die. She gets it, and she's like, there is nothing more worthwhile for me to spend my life savings on than this man. And she breaks her jar like, no turning back. I've decided to follow Jesus, no turning back, right? And she pours it out, and she says, there, I'm all in. You're worthy of it all. You're worthy of it all. She reveals the worth of Jesus. Last week, Jesus glorified God and revealed his own worth by the miracle that he brought Lazarus back from the dead. This week, chapter 12, Mary actually reveals the worth of Jesus and who he is, signifying more than what any of them really understood during that moment. Even though Jesus said it and said it in different ways, they didn't really grasp the fact that Jesus must die and therefore be resurrected and bring life. And Jesus says, I don't even know if Mary understood the fullness of it, but Jesus is like, Mary has been saving this all along to anoint and prepare me for burial. Like, this was all part of God's plan that Mary would do this and glorify God in this moment and show His worthiness. Reveal it to us. And we need to figure out how we're going to respond and if we really know who Jesus is. I have a few questions for you. Do you truly realize who Jesus is? And don't just say yes. Like, don't just say that and be like, yeah, I get it. Because listen, the disciples were with Jesus day and night. They saw more miracles and heard more teaching than Mary did, and they didn't get it. Like, so I don't care how long you've been sitting in pews or chairs in church and how many sermons you've heard or how many times you've opened your Bible. Have you really just grasped just how glorious and awesome Jesus is? That He's the beginning and the end. There's no one like Him. That He brings life itself. Just who He is. And if so, because if you have, you would do what Mary would do. If I did, I would do what Mary did. Have you laid everything at the feet of Jesus? Are you even spending time at the feet of Jesus? Like, see, where does your thoughts wander? What do you dream about? What do you think about? Like, man, I just wish I had that. I want this. You know, the things that you treasure, where your heart is. That's what I'm talking about. Where is that? Because I know where it was for Mary. It was Jesus. And she made that clear to everybody. She's always at the feet of Jesus. And she's like, here's everything I have, Jesus. Here it is. Have you laid everything at the feet of Jesus? Have you laid everything at the table, on the table? Said, here it is. It's for you, Jesus. Doesn't mean that you have to, like, burn your money. I'm not saying that. I don't think that's legal either. Don't do that. Yeah. But I'm saying, like, have you put it on the table? What do you hold most precious, most dear, that you're holding on to, that you treasure maybe too much, that you haven't laid out and said, here it is, Jesus. Do with it what you will. If you tell me to give it up, I will, because You love me. You want what's good for me. I trust you. I love you. You're not going to lead me astray. Here I am. I mean, when I think of that, what do I think? I think of Abraham taking his very son, his one and only son that took decades and decades to come for God's promise. And he's like, here, God, trusting in who God is. Because he's still that way today. Are you willing to do that? Do you have that faith? Are you worshiping Him? Is God that worthy to you? He should be, if you've realized what He's done for you. Do you realize exactly what Jesus has done for you? Or are you so consumed asking for Jesus to do what you want Him to do that you aren't really, you don't really realize what He's actually done for you? You know, we often ask Jesus to do the things that we think are best, that we see that needs to be done. Jesus goes far above and beyond that. Remember the paralyzed man? I called him Matt because he was on the mat and his friends carry him in. But the paralyzed man that they lower down through the roof and they bring him for what? Heal his leg so he can walk again. And Jesus says, your sins are forgiven. And they're like, what? He's like, so that you will believe that I can forgive sins, I will heal his legs. You think that the most important thing is that his legs are healed. That's not. Right? It's that his sins are forgiven. We often go to God and we pray and we ask, God, will you make what we have better? I mean, this is why people were following Jesus. I mean, when Jesus fed the multitudes and he went away and he went on a boat and crossed, they all were like, we're after him. And you know what they asked him? Let's have another tasty meal, Jesus. Like, that's what we want, is another tasty meal. And Jesus is like, "That you don't understand. I don't just feed people bread. I'm the bread of life. Like, I'm going to give you so much more. And we're like, God, will you improve my circumstances? And if you don't, I don't know if you care about me. And God's like, I'm going to change and make everything new, and I'm going to take away every sin, and I'm going to take away every problem. Will you trust me? And I'm going to use every single thing. Even the hard stuff, even the stuff that we hate, it's often in those times that God is shouting to us, saying, will you hear me? Will you listen to me? I know you're struggling. I'm trying to get your attention. I'm trying to develop your character. I'm trying to help you realize how much that I love you. And I'm trying to help you realize that the only thing you need is me. But it's really hard when you're losing everything and you're like, I don't know. I feel like I need more. And he's like, you know, I know what you need. Jesus knows what we need. It's not always what we want. Can we trust him? Do we realize what he's done for us and what he's going to do? What he's promised, that he will carry through. It's much more. It's far more valuable than any little circumstance that he can fix here on earth. And can we trust him through the hard circumstances and have endurance and have steadfastness? And in that moment, shine as a light. Are we willing to say, here it is, God, if it glorifies you, use it as you will. He asked Mary to pour it all out. Right? Mary did. Here's my next question. We could ask so many more, but here's my next question. Are you broken and whole at the same time? If you've been a Christian a while, you might get this, and I hope you do. And if you haven't, then you need to even ask that question. Do I really grasp the gospel? Are you broken and whole at the same time? Like, when you hear the good news of the gospel, it should break you. And it should make you whole at the same time. Like, that, you can't look at the cross and you can't look at the work of Jesus and his death, burial, and resurrection and not feel broken and whole if you really get what he accomplished. Right? This is a good test to say, do I really understand it? Because if you see the price that he had to pay, if you see the cost, then you'll start to get it. See, and this is what I think Mary got. If it's the same lady in Luke's account, Jesus even tells this parable about this. He's like, you know, there was this businessman and he forgave two men of their debts, one 500 denarii and the other 50. Who did he love more? And they're like, well, the one he forgave 500. He's like, yeah, that's right. Because when we realize how much that we've been forgiven, we love more. And this lady realized how much she was forgiven and she loved more. When we don't think that we need forgiven of much, we don't tend to love very well or worship very well or see the reality of what Jesus did. Like, you are so bad. All of you, kids, adults, all of you. You're so bad, I'm so bad, and we're so worthless, right, that we can't save ourselves. That the only way that we can be saved is that God himself would come and live the perfect life that we can't live and die the death that we deserve so that he could give us life. But hear this just as well. Kids, adults, you are so valued and you are so loved that God himself came for you. Because he loves you and he cares about you and he wants you to be with him and part of his family for all eternity, and he doesn't want you to feel, taste, or experience sin ever again. Like, ever again. Not even see the effects of sin. It'll be gone. He's wiping it away. He's going to make a new heavens and a new earth as it should have been, unstained by sin. That's our God. And you can trust in that and you can hope in that. And you can feel renewed in that. Are you broken and are you whole at the very same time? Right? We would all be better off if we spent a little more time at the feet of Jesus. It's there at the feet of Jesus where we humble ourselves, where we surrender, where we lay it all out and say, Jesus, here it is. Use me. You are worthy. There's no better place to spend my time. There's no better place to spend my money. There's no better place to spend all of eternity than at your feet, which is where we will be, church. And it'll be glorious, and it'll be good, and it'll be better than you can ever think or imagine. But try, because it's worthwhile. Try. And practice. Remember, Lord, teach us to pray. Practice. Kept this in here again on the Talk It Over sheet. Practice this. Go to God and say, God, why are you worthy of praise? Why are you worthy of praise? If you can't think of anything, open this wonderful book that's living and active. Turn to the Psalms, and you will find a lot of reasons that you can praise Him. And when things are going well, when things are hard, no matter what, He will be your refuge, and He will be your strength. He will be that safe place, and He will be a friend that will never abandon you or let you down. He will love you like no other. When your own spouse is struggling, when your kids, when whatever, your parents, like He will be there. That's who He is. And He is holy. Like, you don't ever have to worry about any deception with Him. He will never lie. In fact, He cannot lie. Scripture makes that clear. He will always be straightforward with you, and you will not find any flaw in Him. He is perfect. Praise Him. And then submit and say, you're worthy of surrender. And surrender to Him. And when you do that, your worries, your requests become a lot smaller. And God gets a lot bigger. And they're not so heavy anymore. Because it turns out when you cast your burdens on Him, He'll take them for you. Turns out when you draw near to Him, He'll draw near to you. Right, it's who He is. And He will walk with you. And I'm not saying it's going to be easy. Right, but He is the shepherd that will walk with you through the shadow of darkness. He will sit with you at the table in the midst of your enemies. I'm not saying it's going to be easy, but He's going to be there. He's going to be there, and you can trust Him. And He is worth every single thing that you give Him. And every single thing that you do for Him, and every single moment that you spend with Him. Here's my question in closing. If you need to respond, you can respond. You can come to the altar. We'll pray with you. We can pray with you after. We can go to the Word together. The Word that's living and active. What are you holding back? What sin have you not confessed and repented of? What are you holding on to that you're like, you can take anything but this, God. But I'm holding on to this. This is my idol. This is what I find most worthwhile. What are you holding on to? What are you dreaming of? That you're like, God, I've been dreaming of this more than I've been dreaming of you. I really desire this thing or this person or whatever more than I actually desire you, and I'm sorry. And lay it at the table. What are you willing just to lay that at the table before God and trust Him with it? If you see that He is worthy, if you see that He is worth it, you will actually experience just how good God is. But not if you don't surrender it. If you don't surrender it, you will never know. You will never know what that walking in faith really looks like. Right? That's what He's asking us to do. To walk in faith. It's impossible for us to be really in a good standing, a good place with God and for God to say, you're doing well if we're not walking in faith. What does that look like? What do you need to lay at the feet of Jesus this morning? I encourage you to do it and be filled with Him. And trust, it'll feel painful. Like you're breaking that jar, no turning back, laying it all out and say, it's gone. It'll feel painful. But then when you get filled with Jesus, you'll be more broken than you've ever been, but then you'll be filled more whole than you've ever felt as well. That's what He does. Will you lay it at His feet? Let me pray and we'll sing. Dear Heavenly Father, thank You for Your Word. Thank You for Your truth. Let us see Your worth today and let us sing of Your worthiness as we leave here today, Lord. And let us respond how we need to, Lord. Whatever it is that we need to lay at the table, lay at Your feet and say, I give it over to You, God. But first, we have to see just how wonderful You are. You are the only one worthy to save us and the only one who can. Thank You for who You are. Thank You for what You've done. Let us see Your worth right now. I ask for Your Holy Spirit to work, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.